Good morning. Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'm delighted to welcome Bill Press. He's host of the nationally syndicated Bill Press Show, also on Sirius XM. He writes a syndicated column for Tribune Media Services, and he is author of the new book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's so much fun to be here. Good to see you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
It's nice to see you, too.
This is a lot more fun than my radio studio. I mean, you've got all these baked goods, breakfast, people sitting around.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
All the coffee you want. So let's talk about right-wing radio. There is, well, in your experience, you have had plenty of encounters with right-wing radio that was civilized, intelligent, true differences of opinion. William F. Buckley comes to mind, and other people since him. But the right-wing radio you're talking about is kind of the opposite, uncivilized and not very good journalism. What's going on?
Well, that's why I wanted to write the book, because, I did Crossfire at CNN for 6 years, right? Up against Bob Novak, Pat Buchanan, Mary Madeline, you name it, John Sununu, Tucker Carlson. I was the one guy on the left. They were rotating right-wingers. And went from there, Pat Buchanan and I, over to MSNBC. We did a show called Buchanan and Press. I did a show called Spin Room with Tucker Carlson. Let me tell you, I love good, hard-hitting political debate. I thrived on it. I made a living at it. I think it's very important and healthy for our democracy. And in all those 6 years, for example, on Crossfire, I remember twice, and we did a show every night, where it got personal or maybe nasty. And each time, once was Novak, once was Sununu, I called them on it, we talked about it, closed the door, had it out, and then we said, we can't let this happen on the air, because it's just not good, you know, for, that's not what people want. And it doesn't advance the issues at all. The contrast with that, with what we hear today, is what I'm lamenting in Toxic Talk, because political debate today, particularly on right-wing talk radio, has just become nothing but a steady stream of ugly, mean, personal, nasty attacks. Glenn Beck calling Jimmy Carter a waste of skin. You know, Neil Bort saying after Katrina that the people that get the blame are the parasites who lived in New Orleans and didn't have enough sense to wipe themselves, let alone get out of the way of the water when the levee broke. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, and they just throw it out there. There's no debate, there's no back and forth, there's no explication of the issues. It's just hate talk. And, not to give you too long of an answer here, but the other thing that worries me, we can talk more about this, is that in many cases, this hate talk can and has led to violent actions. So I think it's bad for a lot of reasons.
One thing that I find baffling, now you wrote this book, Toxic Talk, and writing this book requires your listening to and watching these people who, I don't think I would have had the stomach to do it, but... So you did it so the rest of us don't have to. But the fact is
right.
That a lot of people listen to it and like it. What is going on in the minds and souls of the listeners who like hate speech?
First, I've got to say, I spent hours and hours online, thanks to a group called Media Matters for America. Great organization, founded by David Brock, former big conservative writer, has saw the light. they're a great group, and they... If you go to their offices, been there many times, and the book was born in a meeting in their offices, they just have rows and rows of cubicles with guys with men and women with headphones on, listening to these talk show hosts all across the country, watching the TV shows, and capturing their lies, putting them up online, and then answering them. So you can go to their archives, for example, from Michael Savage, and just go back 3-4 years, all the ugly things Michael Savage has said on various topics. That was my resource material. The one thing the right-wingers I talk about have all complained about the book and bitched about the book and said the book is unfair, it isn't accurate. But none of them can deny that they said exactly what I quote them in here, because I transcribed it myself from audio. But here's what's happening. To the second part of your question, they're successful because they are serving a block of people who don't want to be informed, don't want to be challenged, who just want to be reinforced. You know, they want their right-wing philosophy reinforced every day, day after day. And that's what they get.
What is the psychology
and there is an audience. These people are making a lot
of
money.
No, I know. I mean, there's an audience. But
and
what
it's
is
scary.
This, what is this? So here we are, the listeners to KSFR, the listeners perhaps to this program and to, you know, NPR, which is hardly progressive, but as you call it, not progressive radio, sort of, you know, middle-of-the-road radio. But they're people who do want to be challenged, who do want to think, who do want to address issues as new issues come up, who are willing to change. And you're dealing with a block of people who don't want to change, who want to be reinforced. I mean, is this like a failure of the public education system? What's going on?
I think so, partly. But I'll tell you what, we used to have something in this country called the Fairness Doctrine. The Fairness Doctrine was an FEC ruling that simply said that if you have a license to operate a radio station, commercial radio stations, right? You have to operate that station. You have to provide a balance of views. Ronald Reagan comes to office. He doesn't like this. The conservatives have been complaining about it for a long time. His FEC did away with the Fairness Doctrine in 1987. 1988, Rush Limbaugh arrives on the scene.
Yeah.
And Rush Limbaugh, whatever you think of him, is a good radio talent. I mean, he's a master showman and entertainer. He gets nationally syndicated. He starts getting rocket ratings. And these radio owners now, station owners, who are no longer bound by any requirement of balance, all shift to the right. And the conservatives at the same time went out and bought stations, created these networks. So the reason that maybe 53% of the nation voted for Obama, right?
Right.
The reason 53% of Americans are not served by progressive talk radio is there are all the stations
are right-wing talk radio.
No, they're not. Are not served even by progressive radios. They can't find it on the dial.
Oh, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The stations, 95% of the stations in this country are all right-wing all the time. There are 10 hours of right-wing talk for every 1 hour of progressive talk. And there are many, many markets. Fortunately, I'm really jazzed to be on the air here in Santa Fe, right? And Albuquerque and Taos. But you go to Miami, not one progressive station. Philadelphia, not one. Boston, not one. Atlanta, not one.
Yeah, places that are full of progressive voters.
Progressive voters, and Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, 92% Democratic registration. If you turn the dial, all you hear is Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, no progressive talk station. So that's the marketplace.
It's the marketplace, but what you point out, well, let's backtrack for a moment. There was this, the ending of the Fairness Doctrine, and there was quite a bit of deregulation of the media under Ronald Reagan. But then there was also, as you write about, the 1996 Telecommunications Act. What was the effect of that on the media?
Well, the Telecommunications Act, which was signed into law by Bill Clinton, unfortunately, as big a mistake, in my judgment, as his signing the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy,
right?
So, you know. And also doing away with the regulations on Wall Street. This is part of the legacy of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, they called him left wing.
Yeah, exactly. But the Telecommunications Act meant it lifted restrictions on, even more so, on ownership of stations. So that here's what happens. Let's take a Clear Channel. They go into a market and they buy, there's no limit on how many stations they can own. So they buy them all up. And they have one or two that are doing really well, making a lot of money. They don't care what happens to the other ones. And the one thing that they will do is they will not put progressive talk radio on the air. They'll put three sports stations on the air. They have made in market after market after market across the country the editorial decision that all of our broadcasting in talk radio is going to be right wing. And they're able to do that because Clinton signed that legislation. But if I can just, one more thing. So that's horizontally, they own all the stations. Vertically, they have an ownership monopoly too because they own the shows. So they own the stations. Which shows go on the biggest stations? It's a total right-wing monopoly thanks to that legislation.
And, which is amazing, which you write about in your book, they are willing to not make a profit. They're willing to take a loss if they have to.
And the reason, yeah, that I know that just doesn't We can't get our arms around that.
That's anti-capitalist.
It totally is anti-capitalist. But the reason they're able to do that again, and I can give you examples. San Diego, Akron, Ohio, Missoula, Montana, where we had Miami. But not just my show, but there was a whole lineup of progressive talk radio on in a progressive station. So me, Stephanie Miller, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, you name it. We were all on those stations. They pulled the plug, and we were making money and getting good ratings. Pulled the plug because editorially they didn't want our voices on the air. Put another sports station in each of those markets on the air where there were already two or three sports stations. I could show you the numbers today. Those sports stations are getting an asterisk for a rating. They're not making any money. But they take that loss because they have bigger stations again in the same market that are making so much money they can afford to basically throw one station away.
And
they're willing to do that to keep our voices off the air.
Yeah, it's a de facto censorship of a broad political dialogue. When you were talking before about being on this TV debate show where you were the lone left wing person and there was a rotating cadre of right wing people, again, there's an imbalance in that. It's as if to make a kind of snapshot of the United States as being 75% right wing or more, when that's not the case.
Yeah, but you see, I was able to keep up with.
You were able to keep up with them, but what if they had
outscore all five of them? So.
That may be, but what if they had five progressive voices that would have showed the people who were watching, there's a variety of progressive voices, which there are.
Sure. No, absolutely. And that's the same thing with, as I mentioned, all those other progressive talk radio hosts today. There are a lot of, I think, good, talented people out there. I hope I'm one of them, who are presenting really good, informative, and entertaining, and challenging radio, talk radio, every day across the country. It's just that they don't have, for the reasons I mentioned, they don't have the outlets and the opportunities to get their point across.
We're talking to Bill Press, author of the new book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves. You write that 2/3 of talk radio audience members are angry, white, older males. What's going on with that?
Well, there are several reasons why right-wing talk radio is so successful. We've been talking about the ownership thing, which is the number one reason. But the other is, as a medium, talk radio really does appeal to the angry, white male, you know, who just is pissed off at the universe and the Tea Party types, if you will, before there was a Tea Party. And again, they just want to be reinforced in their beliefs. You know,
what are they pissed off about? They kind of got it good, don't they?
I think they have it very well. They're pissed off because who knows? It's hard for me to understand the Tea Partiers. They're anti everything, right? They're anti government. Local, state, national government. Except the military, right. They're anti, frankly, having a black man in the White House. They're anti any kind of restrictions on their freedom. You know, they think Obama's going to take their guns away. I mean, it's just... They get up in the morning and they hate the day. whatever. But, so talk radio appeals to that group. It just, you know, reinforces their anger.
Are they a dying breed?
I don't think so.
People who are in their 30s now are going to turn into them?
Too many of them. Yeah. I'd like to think they're a dying breed, but I think when you see the success of the Tea Party, you'd have to say they're not. I just want to read you, if I can, quickly, just a quote from Michael Savage. He's the worst. He is absolutely the worst. Okay, you talk about it. He says, this is the greatest country ever created in the world, built upon the best of the white Anglo-Saxon world, male, too. And he's worried today that other groups are having their rights extended or expanded. Women, minorities, gays. And here's what Savvy says. Take a guess out of whose hide all of these rights are coming. They're not coming out of women's hides, are they? No, there's only one group that's targeted, and that group are white, heterosexual males.
Yeah.
They are the new witches being hunted by the illiberal left using the guise of civil rights and fairness to women and whatnot. I mean, that's sick.
Well, it's also kind of crazy because in other contexts, when there are people who have legitimate claims to having been victims of society in one way or another, they don't buy that, but they're willing to be the victims themselves.
Yeah, they're painting themselves as victims,
right?
And denying the fact that there have been millions and millions of Americans, and still are today, who are denied the fullness of the American dream because of their color of their skin or their gender or sexual orientation or religion or whatever. I mean, I happen to be a white Anglo-Saxon male. I don't feel myself as a beleaguered minority.
It's,
and I know I've had opportunities that others have not,
right,
just because
right
of who I am.
Now, there's
if I were in Arizona, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I were in Arizona, nobody's going to stop me and say, hey,
get out of the car.
You look like a Mexican to me.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's also interesting that Michael Savage, I had no idea until I read the chapter on him, that he was an herbalist who studied ethnobotany and hung out with the beat poets and then had a change
of
heart.
He used to go skinny dipping with Allen Ginsberg.
What happened?
Wish I did.
Did he have a traumatic experience?
I think he's crazy. I don't know. I don't know what happened. No, he was, maybe you say still is, a world-renowned ethnobotanist, I guess,
yeah,
or whatever. Went down to the jungles of Indonesia and studied this stuff. Wrote like 16 books about it. He was a world scholar in this area. And now he's this deranged right-wing talk show host. The Savage Nation. I was on MSNBC when he got his show on MSNBC and told one caller, talk about toxic talk, told one caller who identified himself as gay, oh, go choke on a sausage.
Yeah.
Go get AIDS and die.
Yeah.
We told him. Lost his job because of that.
Yeah.
But just one postscript, if I can, on that, is I mentioned before the violence. There were 113 attacks so far this year against census workers. Census workers. Just, you know, trying to figure out who lives where so we can distribute the money proportionately in this country. And the last attack was in Yuba City, California. Census worker walks up to the door. Woman opens the door with a shotgun. He calls police. The police arrive. She turns the shotgun on them. They shoot her dead. You know, it's good. And I was reminded right away of a talk show host, Eric Erickson, who is also a CNN contributor. And I asked Robert Gibbs about this at the White House when he said it. Eric Erickson, who said, if any census worker walks up to his door, he'll pull out a shotgun on the census worker. Now, I don't know that she heard that program, but clearly there are enough nuts out there. And this woman, Sharon Angle from Nevada, now the Republican candidate in Nevada, who said that what we need are more Second Amendment remedies. You know, a lot of people hear that, right? Second Amendment remedy means
go shoot people.
Go shoot people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, it's coming from the politicians and from the right and from the right-wing talk radio hosts, and it's the radio hosts who are running and leading the conversation, and I think are dominating Republican politics today.
So what is the hopeful glimmers of hope that we have? I mean, there are some progressive talk show hosts. There is XM Sirius and so on. What's going on the positive side of this?
Yeah, we have to end there, right? That's important because there are some good things happening, right? I mentioned there's this whole panoply now of progressive talk radio hosts who are out there. 5 years ago, there were none. None syndicated nationally. None. Ed Schultz was the first, and then Air America. Air America's fallen, but all the rest of us are still there. That's good. We need more stations. We have a new chairman of the FEC. FCC. I'm sorry. And I know senators like Byron Dorgan, Debbie Stabenow, Bernie Sanders have met with Jules Janoszewski and said, you've got to do something about enforcing the law today, which says that commercial radio stations have to be operated in the public interest. So even without a fairness doctrine, that's still the law. That's
is that
happening.
Right? In
yes.
the public interest.
Yes. That's the phrase in the law. And finally, there is more and more conversation, and I've been part of that, with wealthy liberals to do what people like Rupert Murdoch did. To put their money on the line and go out and buy some stations and stop whining and stop complaining and just create our own network.
Well, there's another thing, and maybe we'll just go a minute or two over, because this is very important, which is something that you talk about that very few people know about, which is the building of the conservative message machine that started in the early 1970s in reaction to the cultural and political revolutions of the 60s.
They were very smart. The conservatives saw, you're right, this upwelling, if you will, of liberalism, and Richard Nixon commissioned an attorney, Washington attorney, prominent Washington attorney, to write a memo on what conservatives could do to build a movement. His name was Lewis Powell, later appointed to the Supreme Court. The Powell memorandum was followed to, it was a brilliant memorandum, followed right to the letter by the conservatives, and it started by saying, we've got to build a message machine. That's what it was all about, in order to dominate the issues and public policy debate in this country. And so they put the money together, they raised tons of money.
Untold millions.
Right. Started creating with think tanks, starting with the Heritage Foundation. From the think tanks, they bought radio stations, bought the networks, they recruited the talent, they trained the talent, they brainwashed the talent,
yeah.
They subsidized the talent. And so now you have maybe 30 or 35 think tanks in Washington. You've got hundreds of radio talk show hosts, and they all get the same talking points every day, and then they pump those ideas out every day to the talk radio world, TV world, Fox News, and to the legislature. So they've got this whole mammoth, and on our side, as I say, now we have maybe six or eight progressive talk show hosts for the last 5 years. We've got one think tank, Center for American Progress. We've got Media Matters for America. So the left's got to get, we're like 30, 40 years behind the curve.
I noticed that you didn't mention Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, which
I'm
is
sorry,
on 850 stations. It wasn't even in your book.
I should have. I was talking to a commercial talk radio, this is only why, but I'm a huge fan of Amy Goodman. And she's a pioneer. She's been out there doing it longer than anybody. Yeah. Mm.
Bill Press is the author of the book Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves.
And tonight.
And yes, I'm going to say, it's published by St. Martin's Press, and he will be speaking tonight at the wonderful Collected Works bookstore at 6 in the evening. That is on, what's the name of the street?
It's on Galisteo.
On Galisteo. Thank you. My brain went blank. It's on Galisteo Street here in Santa Fe.
I've heard such great things about this store. I'm really excited.
Oh, it's a wonderful, yeah. It's a new location, and it's huge and has comfortable seating areas and a little stage and coffee and all sorts of things. Bill Press, thanks so much for being with us.
Mary Charlotte, great to see you. Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is with the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's the education reporter, and he is with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deborah Bolt is here. She's here to talk about the Father's Day Fiesta in the Rail Yard Park this coming Sunday. Welcome.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
So tell us quickly, what's going on this Sunday?
Well, we're really excited about this first ever community-wide celebration of fathers in the Rail Yard Park on Sunday. And we're producing it with Fan Man Productions and Young Fathers of Santa Fe. So if you've got children ages 8 to 18, bring them to Warehouse 21. See Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief. It's a great film with a strong father theme based on the best-selling book. And it starts at 1 o'clock, again at Warehouse 21.
At Warehouse 21. So this is a whole thing for basically encouraging families and especially fathers and their kids to come and hang out on Sunday.
Exactly. It's really a chance to honor and celebrate our dads. There's really never been anything like this in Santa Fe, certainly in recent memory, maybe ever. So, yeah, it's just going to be a wonderful community-wide event.
And you are also with a group called Real Fathers, R-E-E-L, hence the movie theme. You are showing movies on a fairly regular basis?
Yeah, what we do is we bring people together, usually dads, sometimes on their own, sometimes with kids, to watch movies that bring powerful themes and issues to the surface, and then to reflect on them through facilitated dialogue, really. We partner with Head Start, and we do work with incarcerated dads and former offender dads, and we have screening groups for dads from throughout the community.
So this Sunday at the Rail Yard and Warehouse 21, if people want more information about what's going on and they want to contact you, how do they do so?
Well, they can visit our website, which is for the event. It's Santa Fe, Father's Day Fiestas, Santa Fe. I'm sorry.
Say that again.
It's Father's Day Fiesta, SF, for Santa Fe.com. Okay.
Deborah Bolt, thanks for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, Deborah.
Robert, what's going on this weekend?
This is a crazy weekend.
Is
but
it?
I'm glad Deborah came on to say that because I wanted to tell everybody who has a father and has a good relationship, hopefully with father, call them or send a card. It's still time. That's on Sunday.
Excellent.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a father myself except to my dogs, and I don't think they're going to give me anything but grief on Sunday.
They call you the dog father.
Doggy father. Oh, we love you. They look at me so sad when I leave for the show on Friday mornings. They're like, where are you going now? It's 8 o'clock in the morning. What, you got to go?
And you say, look, it's Friday. Don't you know?
I'd even turn on the radio for them. But when I come back, here's what's weird. They've changed the dial.
To progress to right-wing talk radio?
You got it. It's always when I come
Your
home.
Your dogs?
It's amazing. Absolutely.
I'm shocked. I thought all dogs were progressives.
No, they even watch Bill O'Reilly on Fox.
That's crazy.
Okay, among other things, we still have number one is the cover of the Pasta Tempo. And a lot of the pages of the Pasta Tempo are dedicated to the site Santa Fe 8th International Biennial. And that is called the Dissolve. And it features roughly 24 artists, sculpture, paintings. There's also going to be some music, of course, at the opening night party. Bill T. Jones and Arnie Zane Dance Company are performing on Saturday at 8 o'clock as part of this at the Lenzic benefit site. You can read all about it in the Pasta Tempo. Great job they did. And none of the stories are mine, so I can say that fairly. You can also check out the dissolve.net. You can call Site Santa Fe. Starts tonight. Tonight's like a patron's preview and gala dinner. You got to pay a lot for that. Basically, tomorrow there's panel discussions. Bill Jones is tomorrow night. Public opening is Sunday.
All right.
Noon to 5. That's when the public can get in. Free admission Sunday. It'll probably be busy, but go. And then it continues on. The show runs through January of next year.
Excellent.
So there's a lot of time.
And the other greatest event of this weekend is the KSFR book sale.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Books and LPs and CDs and all sorts of things. They have tons, literally and figuratively, tons and tons. Because I've seen these books stacked up.
Oh, so an insider, you've been grabbing some books already, are you?
No, but I'm going to be there on Saturday.
Oh, tell us the time and the place.
Okay, so there's a preview from 3 to 7 tonight with a minuscule admission. If you want to pay a few bucks admission, you can go and have first pick through the books, which this is happening at the Santa Fe Community College Jemez Rooms, but it's a benefit for KSFR.
Where's the Jemez Rooms? Like which building?
It's that main building, so when you park in the main parking lot and there's a big building with the flagpole out front and everything, and you walk in, there's a courtyard, but right before you go into the courtyard, you just go left.
Left.
Into that building where the doors open like Star Trek and you walk through.
Where the administrative offices are.
Yes.
Okay.
It's over there somewhere, and I'm sure there'll be lots of signs and ways to direct you there. And then so it's 3 to 7 today.
Oh, boy.
And then tomorrow it's from 9 to 6, and there's no admission. And I've seen some of the books there. And I'll tell you, just looking at the books that are on the pile, I think, oh, I'd like this one. I'd like that one. You know how you get with...
Are there movie books and biographies, and are there history books?
Yeah, and not only that, but due to the extremely hard and meticulous work of KSFR staff and volunteers, and particularly Linda Highhill, our general manager... they are organized by topic.
Are there, to your knowledge, any erotica titles? I'm just asking.
I have no idea, and I don't care. But if you want to go and check it out, you may.
All right, so I have to pay a small fee if I show up tonight?
If you show up tonight.
All right, I have a question for
Very
you.
Small fee, less than the cost of a book.
I'm doing that 6:30 KSFR show about movies tonight.
Excellent.
So if I go out at 6 o'clock and I'm in Speedos only and I say I'm doing the radio show, would they let me in for free to see the books?
I don't think so.
Okay, I have to pay that small fee.
It depends. It depends who was manning or womaning the door.
Oh, if it's a womaning, I might be able to get in.
Ah.
All right, otherwise, please reiterate the times over the weekend.
9 to 6 tomorrow.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Santa Fe Pride Weekend kicks off this weekend.
Yay.
Presented by the Santa Fe Human Rights Alliance. There's an art exhibit tonight and a reception at 5:30 at Louis' Corner Cafe, 229 Galisteo Street. It's also running, there's a show at the Playhouse called The New Century, Paul Rudnick Comedy. That's running for two more weeks. Santa Fe Southern Railroad is operating its Pride Train to Lamy, which includes a barbecue picnic. That's on Saturday from 5 to 10 p.m. At Sunday night, you can go to the Lodge at Santa Fe for the Swim and Spin Poolside Party with DJs, suggested donation. There's a lot of stuff happening. I think the best thing you can do is check out www.santafehra.org. HRA standing, obviously, for Human Rights Alliance.
You know, you don't have to say the three W's anymore.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right, so I won't say it. Give us an extra 10 seconds.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
what
you're
it
chiding
is.
Me. Adds to
I'm
it,
not chiding right. you. Anyway, okay, so what else is happening?
Well, do you know Missy Mazzoli, the composer?
No.
She's going to be at the New Mexico History Museum at 4 o'clock Saturday. Got to pay to get in. And she will be, she's got a new album called Cathedral City. And she's profiled in today's PASA by Robert Kerr. Take a look-see. She's working on a new opera, incorporating both electronics and film. And anybody interested in that, again, 4 o'clock Saturday at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium.
And there will be a mini version of the Mambo Room this Saturday at the Lodge upstairs. Salsa and Latin mixes all night from 9 in the evening till 2 in the morning. And Vibes tonight. Vibes Tropical Party, reggae and tropical Latin from 9 to 2 in the morning. Low summer prices. And that's all Avi's Mambo Room. So check it out if you like Latin rhythms.
You going to be there?
Maybe.
Okay. The Santa Fe Photographic Workshops are kicking off this summer. Paul Weideman has got a nice piece in the PASA about them. They start on June 21st with Arthur Myerson, Marie Virginia Swanson, Sam Abel. All of these are discussions at 8:30 held in the Santa Fe Prep Auditorium. That's at Camino de Cruz Blanca, in case you don't know where it is. Here's a phone number, 983-1400. There are workshop instructors give these free evening lectures on Monday and Tuesday nights through early August. So take a look, see. Movies.
Yes.
I love Please Give. Opening today, Nicole Holoff Center's I Call It a Sly, Sad Examination of Life in New York City. I think it's a terrific little indie picture. Katherine Keener, who I really like, is in it. Oliver Platt. What's her name? She's in like every independent picture. Amanda Peet. It's a good picture. It's only 90 minutes. Well worth seeing, in my view. I'm always aware people disagree with some of my movie reviews, but make up your own mind. Regal de Vargas opens today. My review is on page 60. And Jonathan Richards has Anton Chekhov's The Duel review running today. Based on one of Chekhov's pieces that's running at the screen. And for those that care for big budgeted pictures, Jonah Hex about the DC Comics bounty hunter, Josh Brolin, opens today with Megan Fox, who I very much like. And this week is the Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz big budgeted Night and Day, which the trailers make me think I don't want to go see it. Opens on Wednesday. But if you like those two, you know, a lot of shooting and chasing, blah, 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 blah.
Shooting and chasing.
Right.
That's like taking shots and chasing them with... Okay, Desiree Mays.
Oh, I like that. You're thinking alcoholically.
Yeah, which I don't do.
No, naturally.
Desiree Mays, lecturer for the Santa Fe Opera and author of Opera Unveiled, and where our Monday opera series continues apace until the opening of the opera, which is on Friday the 2nd of July. She will be reading the original story of Madame Butterfly by John Luther Long at Collected Works on Galisteo Street this Monday, the 21st of June at 6 in the evening. So that's the source from which Puccini's Madame Butterfly came, but the original tale has a different ending. So
check
it out, yeah.
Gunfire and a chase, maybe. Santa Fe Studio Tour.
Yes, Santa Fe Studio
Tour. Instead of El Dorado or Galisteo, it's the Santa Fe Studio Tour.
Yay.
Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent.
10 to 5 Saturday, 11 to 4 Sunday. There's also a party at the Lodge tonight that ties in with this at 5 o'clock. My guess is you can check out SantaFeStudioTour.com. Don't put the three W's in at the beginning. And you'll find out all about it.
You can put them in.
Well, go right ahead.
Santa Fe Art Institute on Thursday, the 24th of June, that's next week at 5:30, is having their open studios. Artists and writers in residence are speaking and showing their work, and they've got writers and artists and all sorts of interesting people, including Chris Jonas. Our own Chris Jonas of Santa Fe, New Mexico, will be participating.
Excellent. Little art openings tonight. I don't mean little, but let's just say Site Santa Fe is getting a lot of attention. So let's talk about Argos Etchings and Paintings, which is doing a show devoted to Eli Levin's new work, 5 to 8 o'clock tonight, 821 Canyon Road. I'll mention a couple of other shows like Plunge, Photo Images on Glass by Margot, reception 5 to 7. Where at? Box Gallery, 1611A, Paseo de Peralta. The show runs through mid-July. Reception tonight, 5 through 7. Gerald Peters is doing Michael Scott, Buffalo Bulbs. Yes, by Buffalo Bulb. Wild West Show, Paintings, reception 5 to 7. That's at 1011 Paseo de Peralta. The show runs through July. And Meow Wolf has a group multimedia installation, reception 5 o'clock. Show runs through July. They're going to have an after party with various DJs. This is going to be held at Second Street Brewery.
Yay.
Second Street.
Second Street Brewery. They're
great. I went there the other night for some fish and chips and beer, and they were great. And I must admit, I like the original one better than the spinoff in the Railroad Yard. Although I like the atmosphere in the spinoff in the Railroad Yard, but I feel like the food's not as good.
Really?
That's my feeling. People, I'm just speaking. Don't
be
mad at me.
We need objective scientific study on that particular issue.
You love the Santa Fe Opera. You love Desiree Mays. Desiree Mays. I must mention that the Santa Fe Opera backstage tours continue right now, 9 o'clock in the morning. You want to take a walk around. You got to pay a little bit to get in, but you get to see what's going on backstage. 986-5900.
So Bill Press, whom we talked to on the first part of this show today, is talking about his book, Toxic Talk, How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airwaves, tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works. And then tomorrow at Collected Works, Nino David Flamenco Guitar at 1 o'clock, 1 to 3. And then in the evening at 6 o'clock, Dominique Browning, Slow Love, How I Lost My Job, Put on My Pajamas, and Found Happiness. Sounds like a book for you. And then Desiree Mays on Monday at 6 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, the 23rd, Swaya 365, Native Literary Series, readings by Jamie Figueroa and Santi Fraser. So lots going on at Collected Works Bookstore. Oh, yes. Wait, one more thing.
Go right ahead.
On June 21st, what day of the week is that?
That's Monday.
Monday, from 5:30 to 7 at Garcia Street Books, Sally Bingham, whom we talked to just the other day, is reading from her book of poetry, If in Darkness.
Dances with Wolves. Ooh, 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 ooh. It's a fiber arts weekend at El Rancho de los Colondrinas. Historical demonstration, lectures, exhibits, hands-on crafts for kids, 10 to 4 on Saturday. I'm willing to bet that takes place on Sunday as well, although off the top of my head, yes, it does. You got to pay to get in. It's 471-2261. If you have not yet been to El Rancho de los Colondrinas, if you're a tourist, it's a great place to go. You have to drive there south of town, Los Pinos Road. If you're a local and you have kids, bring them there. I think some kids certain ages get in cheap or for nothing. You do have to pay to get in, but it's a great historical living museum on the south side of town. And this is the weekend for Dances with Wolves. I imagine they're going to have some sheep and stuff.
And maybe some wolves dressed like sheep.
Oh, a wolf in cheap clothing, eh?
They shop where I shop.
That's good. And did you mention the 5th annual Palace of the Governor's Gem and Mineral Show?
No, please do.
Well, I'd be delighted to. It's 9 to 5 o'clock today, and I imagine it's taking place throughout the weekend as well. Gems, minerals, 9 to 5, Palace of the Governor's Courtyard, no charge, but you have to enter through the gate south of the New Mexico History Museum at 133 Lincoln Avenue. Here's a phone number, 476-5200. It's also Saturday and Sunday to have lots of fun. Mary Charlotte's my favorite gal.
That's like so 6 months ago.
Why?
That's a Christmas song.
Oh, I was singing about the Gem Show. Don't be silly.
David Barsamian, founder of Alternative Radio, is doing a talk called Language of Empire this coming Wednesday, the 23rd of June at 7 o'clock at, the United Methodist Church in Española. It's across from the McCurdy School at 405 South McCurdy Road in Española, and it's a benefit for Cultural Energy and Las Mujeres Hablan. And a small donation, and you can also check out culturalenergy.org. And then on Thursday, the 24th of next week, in the Taos Community Auditorium, he's talking about India and Nepal, tradition, culture, and a juggernaut of injustice. And some of you may not know about David Barsamyan is that he started out as a sitar player. He actually played Indian classical music and studied with Indian classical masters. And I was just talking to him the other day, and I said, so how have you been? He goes, I've been to India. I said, oh, did you do interviews? He goes, no, I was celebrating the 75th birthday of my sitar master. You're looking at me like, no, but anyway, he's, there are all these wonderful, interesting other sides.
To do that. I don't even drive out to Farmington to see my 82-year-old godmother. It's terrible.
Well, you should.
Good heavens. Hey, we don't often speak too far in advance, but just quickly, the 4th of July weekend's coming up in about 3 weeks. Some options. Roswell's UFO Festival is going to happen. I'm going down there, including Aliens and Cinema Parade. Oh, boy. You can check out RoswellFestival.com. Madrid Bluegrass Festival's that weekend Bluegrass Festival down there, the July 3rd weekend. Start thinking about that in advance.
Excellent.
And that's also the weekend that the Santa Fe Opera kicks off. You mentioned them earlier, July 2nd, I think.
And Heidi Lowen of Heidi Lowen Porcelain is having a reception tonight, an exhibition called Golden Summer. It's from 5 to 8 at 315 Johnson Street. Porcelain work by Heidi Lowen and Sarah Buxton, collaborations with Dutch realist Braut Brawls.
Nice. Cold readings this weekend. So bring a sweater for the 2010 Fiesta Melodrama.
Yay!
It's going to be at 3 o'clock Saturday, 5 o'clock Sunday, Santa Fe Playhouse. All ages and types welcome. 988-4262. The Playhouse is at 142 East of Argus Street. And I auditioned for that melodrama back in 1995. I played a spoof of Governor Gary Johnson, whose daughter turned out to be the stage manager. We got along quite well.
That's great.
He came to opening night. I had a blast doing it.
Those are so hilarious. I can't wait for this one.
I know. This one I hear is going to be pretty funny. Anyway, if you want to audition, it's this weekend over at Santa Fe Playhouse.
So starting next week, there's a film series, Santa Fe Women's Film Series, called Before There Was a Choice. And it starts on June 22nd at Santa Fe Community College. And they're showing all sorts of movies about people, but basically about women trying to deal with reproductive issues in one way or another. On June 22nd at Santa Fe Community College, they're showing Vera Drake, which portrays a working-class woman in England dealing with unwanted pregnancy. And there's a discussion after each of these. We're actually going to be talking about it a little bit next week. Oh, and I also want to tell people that next week on Tuesday, I'm going to be speaking to Linda Tellington-Jones. Have you ever heard of her?
Yes, I have heard of her. You're going to speak to her Tuesday live?
Probably pre-recorded, but it'll be almost like live.
Tell us more.
She is a woman who has... Basically, she's trained animals and people to do a kind of touch on animals, and it works on all animals, and it's not obscure or arcane or complicated to do, and it basically it's a way to calm and communicate with animals. So it apparently has had tremendous success on getting dogs and horses and so on to stop doing unwanted behaviors and become much happier, which, of course, makes their owners happier.
Well, that's good. I could use that one of my dogs, which reminds me just briefly, a cover story of the Santa Fe New Mexican by Tom Sharp. It talks about how prairie dogs are plaguing the Fairview Cemetery. It's sort of a sad story. You might see some dark humor in it, but those prairie dogs are going to be in trouble if they keep doing it because they're considering poisoning them, so we wish we could go give them a touch and get them out of there.
Oh, God.
I promised Kathy Flynn, who's a big WPA gal, historian, that I would mention the upcoming Fireside Chat. June 24th at 4:30 in the National Park Service Building Courtyard, which is at 1100 Old Santa Fe Trail. It's called An Affair of the Heart, FDR, Eleanor, Lucy, and Margaret. It's going to be, what do you call it when somebody actually does something live? Is it Chautauqua performance where they sort of become the character? Anyway, this is going to be 4:30 on Thursday. Could be a fun, interesting show. I'll tell you the address again, 1100 Old Santa Fe Trail. Let me give you a phone number for the National New Deal Preservation Association, which is at newdeallegacy.org. Call this number, 473-3985. See more about it.
And the artist Margot is doing an opening today at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 7, at the Box Gallery at 1611
A.
Oh, you did already?
It's the first time you didn't listen to me today.
It's photographic images of water on large panels. Oh,
but that's
sorry.
All right. She gets two plugs. I don't mind. Anybody with a name like Margo with an X at the end gets an extra. As a volunteer and big supporter of Warehouse 21, I just want them to do well and get by. Rob DeWalt, who's also behind them, wrote an interesting Soundwaves music column today, focusing on their problems, but also questioning what's happening over there and suggesting people get involved if they care. I'm urging you to read the column. It's on page 79. It's a really good Soundwaves column.
Of the Posse Tiempo.
On the Warehouse 21. Yeah, I don't have any stories. Oh, yes, I do. I have a movie review of Please Give. Not that people are reading it for me, but there
well,
you go.
You had a lot of articles in the paper on education.
I'm doing a bunch of them. I got two today on the code of conduct and one on the unfortunate extra $1 million it's going to cost to convert the Alameda School into the new K-8 called Aspen, thanks to unforeseen circumstances. That stuff happens, but I don't think it's going to make people happy. Yeah, I got a couple on there today. Take a look, see.
So the American Cancer Society Action Network is hosting a wine tasting. And that will be at, I have it written down here somewhere. I'm sorry. Let me
That's okay.
Get it in a moment.
You want me to cut in?
Yes, cut in.
Tonight.
Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Yeah,
it's at the Pink Adobe Restaurant on June 19th. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock at 4 in the afternoon. It's called Second Annual Wine for a Cause. So for wine lovers who want to contribute to the American Cancer Society Action Network, that's where you go.
Good. I'm going to rattle off a string of three or four musical options tonight and Saturday night real quickly if you want to get out this weekend. The Surf Rockers, called the Surf Lords, going to play at the Cowgirl tonight at 9, small cover charge. Savoy does its Cuban deal at Dragon Room at 6 o'clock, no cover. Soul Man Sam doing R&B at 8 o'clock down at La Fonda, I love that place. And Jim Elman's doing some Americana at the Ore House this afternoon, about 2:30 or 3, no cover. Finally, if you want to go over to the Tin Star tonight, Tiho and Friends are doing Blues and Rock at 9:30, small cover. Saturday night, I'll run through a few real quick for you. El Farol has Nacho Mendez. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, no cover. David Geist doing his musical show tunes over at Pranzo, very small cover. And to plug the Tin Star again, they have Saucy Saturday, which I love. That's a great idea, 8 o'clock with a couple of DJs. So some options, go see some music, go hear some dancing, go have fun.
Yeah, it's a big weekend, and above all, the KSFR book and media sale.
Well, naturally, then there's Site Santa Fe, the Gem Show, there's the Pride Show. But I'm going to go out and get some books. I'm either going to try to sneak in tonight using my charm, or I'm going to actually pay.
Instead of using your charm, why don't you just use a few dollars?
Oh, like so I can contribute to KSFR.
Yeah.
Not that
you don't contribute
so
every single
week. So does that give
week?
Me a first peek, or does that give me a chance to buy something?
Gives you a chance to buy something.
Oh, so it's better than just going and saying, hold that for me. I'll
of
be
course.
Back tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't get to that side of town very
often.
Yeah,
that would be just silly. Oh. Robert Knott is the education reporter for the Santa Fe, New Mexican.
Going so well to that last 10 seconds.
And he's with the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Wonderful publications both. And Robert Knott, you're
I'm
terrific.
I'm ubiquitous.
You're ubiquitous.
Mm.
I have
I'm
a friend they used to call him Senor Ubiquitoso.
Oh, that's nice. Remember Senor Wences and Ed Sullivan?
No.
He made a sock talk.
Well, if you can do it, then you better do it. Thanks to Sean Conlon for engineering today.
I thought you were going to say Sean Connery. That'd be great to have him out at the station, although I like Sean Conlon.
Sean Conlon is just as wonderful as Sean Connery, in my humble opinion. And thanks to everybody at KSFR for putting together this terrific book sale. Hope everybody makes it out there. I'll be there tomorrow morning.
What time?
Probably about 11 or so.
Oh, then if people want to meet you, they go then?
Yes, they may. Let's see. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web. What are you, purring?
Yes.
At KSFR.org. We're podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at Facebook.com/RadioCafe. And my email address is RadioCafe@KSFR.org. And it's nice. People are friending me on Facebook, and I get to meet all these people, if ever so cyber distantly on Facebook.
And in 520 seconds, I'll say you can find both of us here at the Santa Fe Baking Company. But don't interrupt us while we're doing the show. This occasionally happens. People don't seem to see we have headphones on. But just wait patiently. And at 9 o'clock, we promise we'll get the money you owe us and get out of here.
I love it when people come up when you're on the air and they say, are you on the air?
Right. I know. What do they think we're doing? Working at our computers and listening to iTunes?
Anyway, have a wonderful weekend, Robert.
You have a great weekend. It's going to be nice weather. Be safe out there.
You too.
Happy Father's Day to the
fathers.
Wear
your seatbelt. Don't drink and drive. Love your dogs.
And send Dad a card.
Yes. Hasta la vista, baby.
Let's say the other word.
Bye.